Okay, good morning, everyone. It's time for our hymn sing time. And who has a favorite hymn and a couple of verses they'd like to do?
381.
And I'm going to give you the evil eye if you pick something I don't know. Okay. 381, first and last. Okay. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Next, who has a favorite? Somebody? Alita.
About 557.
And which verses would you like?
About 1 and 3.
1 and 3 of 557. Verses 1 and 3 of 308, which is thine be the glory. Hey.
you, Diane. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. It's great to see everybody out there in the sanctuary today, and those of you that joined us on Zoom, thank you for joining us. Start out with several announcements. Please remember to sign in on the red pew pads that are there in the pew next to you so that we know who came today. And then also there are blue prayer cards in front of you. If you have any prayers that you'd like to have our prayer warriors act upon, please do so and put them in the on the table as you leave the sanctuary. And we are having coffee fellowship across the hall after the service, so please join us. And now to the other announcements. September birthdays. As you can see on the screen, there are several, so please wish those folks a happy birthday when you see them. And a reminder for the pastor's fellowship lunch. The next one will be on Wednesday, September 20th at 12 noon at Legend 8 Chinese Restaurant in Kalamasa. So please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. The cost is $15 per person, and transportation is available if you need it. Just contact the office or Pastor Phillips. The Samaritan's Purse Christmas Shoebox is still going on, so there's 7 of the 100 left is all we have. So if you haven't got one yet, please do so. If you want to get a second one, like I said, there's only 7 left, so act now. The Hearts Grow is actually this Sunday, the second and fourth Sundays. This is for children. They can attend before the sermon, and it stays through to the end of Fellowship Hall. And of course, parents are welcome if you'd like to come. And then today, after the service at 11 a.m., the next episode of The Chosen will be shown, and discussion will follow. So please attend. It's an excellent series. And along with that, we need people to sign up to bring food to the showing of The Chosen. So we need 3 people to sign up each week. So that's, again, a sign-up sheet is back at the script table in the fellowship hall. We have Parents' Night Out coming up Friday, September 22nd. That's in a couple weeks from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. They're going to go through the tale of Despero. There'll be homemade chicken soup, fresh baked rolls, and talk time about what makes a hero. That's an interesting topic. Free Saturday movies, are coming up. The next one will be October 7th at 11 a.m. The film is I Can Only Imagine. And then another one coming up in November, November 4th, will be the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. Well, that sounds like an interesting one. So please attend if you can. It's a good time. Any other announcements? Anyone else? No? Okay. Please rise now and join me in the call to worship as you're able. We'll be doing the 23rd Psalm today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our opening hymn is number 374, Standing on the Promises.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before you sit down, please greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ.
Peace to you. Hey. Hey, how's it going? I see she got her tag back.
Yeah, we found it.
Awesome.
Now, it is now the time for the sharing of joys and concerns, so please raise your hand if you have something you'd like to share, and Deb will give you the mic.
First, I want to say we were out in the desert last Friday when it poured and poured and poured. And we had gone to Applebee's, and we always sit around the bar to where we can watch the TV. And lo and behold, behind us, the whole ceiling came in. And the people that were sitting behind us, you know, were fine. And I told my lovely little husband, I said, I think we need to scoot down. And he's watching the football game. I said, baby, I think we need to scoot down. And just as he stood up and scooted, the whole ceiling right there came in. So I thank God he was fine. But while we were sitting there, there was a young couple, Jamie and Matt, that she goes, I believe God watches over us. And she goes, I want to tell you a story. She goes, I went to go in to have my tubes tied. They opened me up and closed me back up. She said, all of my organs are all glued together and they wouldn't do anything. So they are sending her to UCLA. And she asked for prayer. So we all prayed. There was total silence at Applebee's. But her name is Jamie, and her husband's name is Matt. She's 47 years old and asked for prayer. And I said, when we get back home, I said, our church is the most praying church. I want you to believe in a total healing.
Thanks for sharing that. We will pray for Jamie and Matt. And I want to ask for travel mercies because Paul and I are going to Minnesota to see our daughter for a week. So we'll be gone next week. But we have capable people filling in for you and everything will be great. So I'm really excited to see her because we haven't actually seen her. She and her husband were here last just around Thanksgiving and her husband passed away. So we're going back for a memorial service and just pray for all of it.
I am asking for prayers for my sister Kathy and her husband Rick from Denver. They are on one of their epic trips. This one is to Spain and Portugal, and they arrived in Marrakesh on Friday morning. And we haven't heard from them since. So travel mercies for them too. Kathy and Rick.
I'm still pleading prayers for my brother, Randy. He went in the hospital this morning, and he's in AFib, and my sister-in-law says he's septus. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but he's still hanging in there right now.
Good morning. Morning. Just want to give God the glory, honor, praise for health, beautiful neighbors, and making another year. Also, my wife made another year last month, and myself a couple days ago. So God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Judy, and I am asking for continued prayers for my brother. His insurance or something kind of ran to the end of what it was, and he could stay where he was in the Brookside care facility, but it was going to cost a fortune. And he was not well, so he demanded to talk to a doctor. And yesterday, they took him by ambulance to Redlands Community Hospital, and he had been putting on weight. He probably weighed 180 pounds when he went into the hospital a month ago. He now weighs 231. As my son said, he probably is eating 72 cheeseburgers a day, but he's not. He's not hardly eating at all. He got to the hospital last night in the emergency, and they diagnosed him with high output heart failure, pneumonia, and he's extremely anemic. But we feel hopeful, because at least now there's a diagnosis. They were just giving him pain pills, and then they said, go home, and it was going to fall on me. So I was completely overwhelmed. Prayers for him and prayers for me. Thank you.
Matthew Buckley.
Well, I would like, this is Pat Shores. I would like prayers for a good friend of mine. I've known her since seventh grade. This past week, I called her once and she didn't answer. I called the second time, she didn't answer. And finally, a couple of days later, she called me back. And I think her husband, Bob, has been having some health problems, but she told me that she is going to be going in for a double mastectomy this coming week, I think. So anyway, please, prayers for Linda and Bob. Thank you.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my brother Todd and his wife Shirley. We saw them when we were in Montana this past couple months, and they're struggling with some health problems. So please, prayers for Todd and Shirley. Thank you. Is there anybody on Zoom that has any prayer requests?
Raise your hand and unmute.
Helen?
You got to unmute, Helen. There's a little microphone in the lower left corner. You got to click on that first for us to hear you. Helen, we can't hear you. You have to unmute.
Sorry we couldn't hear you, Helen. Did you unmute? No.
Helen, if you know how to unmute, use the mouse and click on the little microphone in the lower left corner of your screen. There's a little microphone that says mute underneath it. Or unmute. There we go. I heard somebody unmute. Was that June?
Talking to us?
No, Helen's trying to talk, but she's not unmuted. Do you have a prayer request? Okay, we'll have to move on. Helen, we'll call you and find out what your prayer request is.
Thank you, everyone. Please join me now in the unison prayer.
Jesus,
I thank you for being the gate for your sheep. Lord, I adore you because you hear me, and through you I am saved. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord, you have come so that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for being the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. You are not a hireling who sees his sheep as a job, but you are the good shepherd who sees his sheep as his children. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I thank you because you know your sheep and are known by your own. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Now we will pray silently for a few minutes. Dear Lord, we thank you for the so many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for knowing our prayer requests even before we voice them. Be with all the spoken prayer requests, dear God. Speed up the healing process of all those who are ill. Be with everybody here today, dear Lord. You know all our requests, spoken and unspoken, so we put them all before you, dear Lord. Also be with the Christians throughout the world that are undergoing persecution, and be with the situation going on in Ukraine, dear God. Go before them, go before the Christians, protect them, dear Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for your many blessings. And today we open our hearts to whatever you have to tell us, dear Lord, through your word. We thank you and we praise you. And we will pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine art the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It is now time for our Young at Hearts moment.
Our story today comes from the Good Samaritan and other parables, written by Tomi de Paola. When Jesus of Nazareth taught his disciples, he often spoke to them in simple stories called parables. The Lost Silver Piece. Once there was a woman who had 10 silver pieces, and she lost one of them. She lit her lamp, swept out her house, and looked for it in every corner. When she found it, she called all her friends and neighbors and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the silver piece that I lost." In the same way, there is joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Sower. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground, where there was very little soil. It sprouted quickly, but when the sun came out, it withered for lack of moisture. And some of the seed fell among thistles, and the thistles grew up and choked it. But some of the seed fell on good ground, where it grew and bore fruit 100-fold.
The Good Samaritan. When a lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus told this parable. A man was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers, who stole his clothing and money, beat him, and left him beside the road half dead. Now a priest came down the same road. But when he saw the man, he crossed to the other side and continued on his way. A Levite also came down the road, and he too crossed to the other side when he saw the man lying there. But when a Samaritan, who was also traveling the same road, saw the man lying half dead, he stopped and had pity on him. The Samaritan went to the man and tended to him. He bound up the man's wounds and bathed them with oil and wine. And then he lifted the man onto his own beast and brought the man to an inn, where the Samaritan looked after him. The next day the Samaritan went to the innkeeper and gave him 2 pieces of silver, saying, "Take care of him, and if you spend any more, I will repay you on my journey back." Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which of these 3 men do you think was the true neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The lawyer answered, "The Samaritan, the one who was kind to him." And Jesus said, "Go and do the same yourself."
The Prodigal Son. There was a man with 2 sons, and the younger one said to his father, "Father, I would like my share of the property. Will you give it to me?" So the father divided the estate between the 2 sons. Shortly after, the younger son turned his share into cash and went off into a distant land, where he soon spent it all in wild and reckless living. a severe famine came upon the land, and the young man was in desperate need. So he went and attached himself to a local landowner who sent him into the fields to tend pigs. The young man would have gladly eaten the husks that the pigs were eating, as no one gave him anything to eat. But suddenly he came to his senses. My father has hired servants that have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go back home to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants. So he started for home to his father's house. While he was still a ways off, his father saw him coming and was so happy that he ran to meet him. He threw his arms around his son and kissed him. The young man said, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father called his servants and said, Quickly, fetch the best robe and put it on my son. Put rings on his fingers and shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, for we will have a feast today. My son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is now found. And the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the fields, and as he came near the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called to one of his servants and asked what was going on. The servant answered, Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he is safe and sound. There is a celebration. The older brother was angry and refused to go into the party. The father came out and pleaded with the young man to join the celebration. I have slaved for you all these years, the older brother said. I have never disobeyed you, yet you have never even given me a baby goat for a feast with my friends. But my brother comes home after spending all his money on wild and reckless living, and you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But how could we help but celebrate this happy day? For your brother was dead and is now alive. He was lost and now at last is found. The Lost Sheep. There was a man who had 100 sheep. One day, one of the sheep became lost, so the man left the 99 sheep and went off to the wilderness to search for the missing one. When he found it, he carried the lamb home on his shoulders, rejoicing all the way. Then he called his neighbors to his house, saying, Come and celebrate with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And in heaven there will be more joy over one sinner who has repented than 99 righteous people who have no need for repentance.
It's hard to imagine the mind-bending, relentless, reckless love of God for every one of us. May we strive to love like that. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading today is from the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find a pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Hey, thank you, sir, for doing that really long scripture reading. Appreciate that. How's everybody doing? All right, getting ready to have fun, worship God, talk about the Good Shepherd. All right, cool. Next slide. Okay, so what kind of shepherd is a good shepherd? Next slide. All right, so what shepherd are we looking for? So sometimes we follow the wrong shepherds, right? But if you seek, you will find. If you listen, you will hear. You will hear the good shepherd's voice. Next slide. So why did Jesus talk about sheep and call us sheep? You know, sheep need a lot of care. I was thinking of Deb when I was, because she's talked to me about having sheep before. But sheep need a lot of care, right? Next slide. They need shearing, and their wool's not nice and clean either. It's like dirty, it's itchy. I think I'm allergic to wool, but that's a personal problem, right? Next slide. Sometimes there's another strategy too. If every sheep looks like a dog, maybe you don't have to worry about wolves. I don't know. I'm not going to try that with my chickens, though. Okay, next slide. Okay, so have you ever seen that show, America's Dirtiest Jobs? I couldn't find anything in there about sheep, but I'm pretty sure that would be a good episode of that. John, I'm not going to tell you what they're doing in that vehicle. I think you can figure it out. Next slide. Okay, so why does Jesus refer to us as sheep? Actually, that's a pretty ancient theme. You know, before God came as Jesus, that theme was going on before. You know, Hermes, he's a Greek god. Later on, the Romans called him Mercury. He's that guy that I think just wears boxers or something and runs around with wings on his feet. Do you know who I'm talking about? used to be on old dimes in the 40s. Well, he was also a shepherd god. So once a year, they'd get the most handsome guy that would win the, I don't want to call it a beauty contest, but yeah, most handsome guy. He'd have his shirt off and he'd carry his sheep around the city to sacrifice it to the shepherd god. That must have itched too. There's a statue of one of those guys doing that, and which he was supposed to be representing Hermes. Well, there's the Egyptian gods too. They dress up like snakes. That's why they wear that hood. It's supposed to be a cobra's hood. But you notice on one side he has a crook because he's supposed to shepherd the people. On the other side, he has a flail, which a flail is used for wheat, but it can also be used as a weapon. Kind of like nunchucks, which I got the memo from the sheriff's department saying they're legal. So if you're carrying nunchucks in your car now, you don't have to tell the officer you're getting ready to flail wheat, right? But yeah, that's a Japanese flail. But a lot of implements have become weapons. Yeah, they can be used for weapons, you know, from a simple staff to all kinds. I learned that in martial arts. Sometimes he goes so fast, I feel like I'm playing him. Feel like I'm playing that, what is it, that twister game? But yeah, I'm taking it with my little girl. But with God, we don't need any weapons. Sometimes just a word is weapon enough. A word is just weapon enough with God. God's always with us. So that's why, I think that's why, because sheep aren't perfect. They follow a leader. And then also he's going back to an ancient motif about, you know, rulers being shepherds. And that's a lot of times, that's what the Jewish kings were called even, shepherds that shepherd their people. And the 23rd Psalm too, I'm glad to use that when it's not at a funeral. Most of the time I've had to do that. But 23rd Psalm is written by David. And, you know, David was considered a shepherd king. He took care of his people. He was a shepherd before he was a king, which is unusual in many ways. It's probably why he was such a good king. But, yeah, so it's an ancient theme. And so I think that's why Jesus used it, because it really hit home with people. Next slide. Now, there's Jesus. The setting for this is probably at the temple, because I read all around it, some of the chapters before, some after it, and they all seem to be at the temple or close by. And there's always Pharisees hanging out asking him questions. Although in this particular one, it just doesn't have a Pharisee. But I think that's kind of where he was for this particular parable. And a lot of times parables come in two parts too. He'll say the part to the crowds, and then the disciples will say, hey, what's going on? What did that mean? And so they come in two parts. Now this time, he gives a second part. It seems like he just gives it to the same group of people he's talking to. So let's get started. Next slide. All right, so first of all, he talks about thieves and bandits. Actually, those are two different charges. A bandit is a person that attacks you with a weapon, just like that guy. He's a bandit. He's like, hey, you better give me your money or else. And then we'll go to the next slide. That's a thief. They're real sneaky. They break into your house and stuff. They kind of try to sneak around. They might hurt you, though, if they get caught. And so Jesus gets started. He says, very truly, I tell you, anybody who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. And it might be thief or a bandit. You know, it depends on which translation. So anybody that does not come in through the gate. So what does that mean? Hey, I can disguise myself and come through the gate. And maybe it doesn't mean that. Next slide. So thieves, we'll talk about that in a minute. But thieves and bandits, sometimes they do disguise themselves. Now I'll tell you how to see through that in a minute. But they're false prophets, false religions, our own idols that pull us away from Jesus, and every evil that tempts us or makes us question our faith. None of these things come through the gate, meaning none of them come from Jesus nor conform to any of his teachings. So as a chaplain, I'm a retired military chaplain, I'm sheriff's chaplain, I work in the jails. I feel like it's my job to read about different kinds of religions. And so I read different religions, and that most of them all have the same basic truth and everything. But the thing that's different about our religion is we don't have to jump through hoops to get to God. In other religions, it's like, okay, they just about have something like the Ten Commandments. They have a type of mysticism, or, the first song we sang, she's singing about angels ascending and descending. So a lot of those elements are in these religions, but you have to strive really hard to get to God. In one religion, you got to do 51% right to get to heaven. If you do 51% wrong, you're not going to heaven. In the Egyptian religion, Osiris, he like weighed your heart against a feather on a scale. Now, how could you do that? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way we can go to God. In our religion, God comes to us. He comes to us as a person. He comes to us with parables. He comes to us with his teachings, and anything that doesn't go along with that is false. It's basically all it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, during ceremonies, when everybody has to be present, all religions and stuff, I don't talk like that, but they either see my collar, an army, they'd see my cross. And when I pray with a group of mixed people, I'll still pray to Jesus, but I pray in your name, because they know I'm about Jesus, because I have a cross or I have a collar, so I'm still witnessing to them. Maybe I can say a prayer that helps get them interested, but I'm not supposed to force my beliefs on anybody, if it's a ceremony or something where they're required to go to. Now, if it's a Christian service, that's okay. And one time a Muslim chaplain and I gave a prayer breakfast together, and him and I were talking, and we were like, you be 100% Muslim and I'll be 100% Christian, and we'll focus on, the things that we agree on. That worked out pretty good. I did a Christian message. He did Muslim blessing. We did some songs about Jesus. So we agreed. I talk about Jesus. He can talk about Muhammad. It worked out pretty good. So, but anything that does not go through Jesus, it is false. And a lot of these religions, when you see the leaders, they're doing things that are bad, which, we have problems too. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that too soon. So you have to conform to Jesus' teaching. So something can look good, but they're not. Next slide. So the one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens a gate for him. Next slide. And the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So we know the voice of Jesus, which is by his teachings. Now this guy, hired hands, can also go through the gate, but they have to be searched by the watchman. I think that guy's a hired hand. He doesn't look too nervous. So, but we'll talk about the hired hands in a little bit. So we know Jesus. We know his voice. How do we know his voice? It's by what we learn about him by reading the Bible, especially the Gospels and the books of Paul. So we learn about that. And also through the Holy Spirit, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart and take away our sins, he fills us with his Spirit because we're asking him inside. And he doesn't leave us, but he says, like in the Lord's Prayer, we pray every Sunday. Probably should pray it every day, especially the part about asking God to forgive your sins, because that way we maintain our spiritual fitness. That way, the walls are broken down between us and God, whether we erect them on purpose or not. So if we pray the prayer of forgiveness, that doesn't mean you do anything you want to and then say, hey, God, forgive me. It means you work on it and you get better and better, get rid of old habits that hold you back and things in your life that at first you might not recognize, but they might be standing between you and God. And so we get better and better, but it's a lifelong process. That's why sheep are dirty and they need maintenance, right? Next slide. So when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's two types of techniques that shepherds use to lead their sheep. One technique is they open a gate and they drive their sheep along. They may have a dog, which is kind of like a hired hand, right? But he's a dog. Yeah, he's a hired paw. I don't know. But But yeah, so they drive the sheep ahead, you know, and that's, they drive them, you know, and the dog kind of keeps them in place and stuff. But there's another way they do it too, and that's also used in the Middle East. The shepherd might whistle. Actually, they probably use both of them. But the shepherd might whistle or call, you know, call out the names of the sheep if he doesn't have too many. If he has 100, that's kind of a, I think only Jesus can do that one. But yeah, the good, so he goes ahead of the sheep and the sheep follow him. That's the method that Jesus uses. He doesn't force us to follow him. So no, he doesn't force us to do that at all. We choose it of our own accord. And so we choose to follow him. And he'd like everybody to follow him. There's nobody that probably couldn't get saved, to start with at least. So Jesus died for everybody. So it's a shame that not many, you know, a lot of people don't take advantage of that. So he's calling us, and he's even calling people that are not his sheep, because he wants them to become part of the fold so that he can love them and bless them, make them happy, make their life worthwhile living. Because no matter what we do, how much money we make, who we know, where we go, how much we travel, not going to be happy without God. We might think we're happy, but we're not. There's always going to be that discontent. And the only way we can have the peace that passes all understanding is to hear the Good Shepherd's voice and heed it and listen to him. Next slide. So if they will not follow a stranger, though, they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So if we hear somebody that's a false prophet or somebody, you know, somebody, you know, telling us to live in the woods with them and drink Kool-Aid or something like that, you know, false prophets, we know that's not right, you know. And then I was reading about a church organization that, you know, was hung up on a certain prophecy or something like that. But and it sounded good, but the first thing they did was build a huge expensive church. I mean, not just a normal one like this one, you know, and that kind of raises a red flag. And I found out the founder of that denomination is still here today. It's not this one, though. But I found out the founder of that denomination was involved in several really, really, really bad, immoral things. So he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So if you have discernment, even at church, you can see the wrong leader. Yeah, if you're not just going along with what everybody else is doing, but you listen to a good shepherd's voice, you can discern things. You can discern whether somebody that looks like a good religious leader is one or whether they're not one. Yeah, you can just tell it. God opens your eyes. So the sheep do not know the voice of a stranger. They go away. They're like, hey, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to listen to Jesus. Next slide. Jesus uses figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So oftentimes it's like that. Sometimes, you know, disciples ask him. Other times, in this case, it doesn't say he just told the disciples. He just retold the story again. So here we go to part two. Part two of the Good Shepherd. Next slide. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. So are we listening to the Good Shepherd? Are we listening, or do we look like we just listened? Like, at least the people, the disciples he was talking to, they were honest. They were trying to listen, but they still didn't understand. So he explained it even more. Next slide. So I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So Jesus is saying that if we accept him into our hearts, he's the right gate we should follow in and out. You know, whatever we do, he's going to take care of us. He's going to give us provision. He's going to meet our needs. When I talk to inmates in jail, they talk about this too, and they're like, well, I got a place to stay and I got food to eat, and some of them have more there than they do on the outside. So, you know, God's going to give us provision. And usually he'll give us more than just that. But God's going to give us provision, and God's going to take care of us. And then when it's time for us to go, we're going to go home. And we'll probably be like, man, why'd I try to stay here so long? But yeah, I mean, you're going to try to stay here so long, but once you go there, you'll be like, oh, wow, I've been missing out on all this. So we have an eternal hope. We're going to be eternally with Jesus. We're going to keep on doing whatever job he wants us to do. You know, I don't think we're going to just be up in heaven playing the harps or stuff like that. I think we're going to do a lot. So he's going to take care of us, and he's going to watch over us. Next slide. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So anybody that's a false leader or something, they're in it for themselves. They're not here to help other people, even though some of them may be fooling themselves. Next slide. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So yeah, there's Jesus like over the precipice, which he did. He laid down his life for us. He did it so that we might all be saved. And we have the peace that you're experiencing now, you know, if you have Jesus in your heart. You have that peace right now. He fills the emptiness that money can't fill. He fills the emptiness that possessions can't fill, cars, houses, other people can't fill that emptiness either. Only Jesus can. And then all this other stuff is good stuff, but it's not going to do the job that Jesus does. Next slide. The hired hand, who's not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. Yeah, we're getting ready. We're talking about hired hands now. Okay, these hired hands, they're trying to do a better job, right? They're not running away from the wolves. So I don't know. Maybe that's like Trader Joe's where you sample food, except that's Trader Joe's for wolves. I don't know. But yeah. So those guys they're actually on the right track to being a decent hired hand. But next slide. Hired hands. Hired hands represent those who watch over the flock. These can be ministers, priests, deacons, youth leaders, laypersons, anyone who helps lead the church. I'm doing that right now. I do that in jail. These are all good and necessary roles to help people nurture faith in Christ. So that's it. Anybody that works in a church, volunteers, or even just being part of a church and going out and ministering to people, you know, we eventually become one of the good shepherd's hired hands. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Except that, next slide. Hired hands are not perfect, but we can make mistakes. So they're subject to imperfection. They can be subject to sin. And they do not love the sheep as Jesus does. So do not put too much faith in religious leaders. Instead, focus on personal relationship with Jesus. So I mean, no matter how good I am, I can't love you as much as Jesus does. And some people might think that's strange. I don't know. But yeah, no matter how good I am or how good any pastor is, or yeah, we're all perfect, and everybody, we're all sinners come to Christ. So we're all sinners. You know, we're not perfect. We're subject to mistakes. I got an example I can give you. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm on the internet. But it's not anybody we know here. Well, I know, but not you know. But anyhow, it was a pastor, yeah, years ago before I was going into the military, and I was working in a church. It was a church that was led by a bigger church. And that bigger church had a pastor that the church I was working in, you know, he kind of founded it. And the pastor of my church, he kind of idolized this pastor in a bigger church. You know, he thought that pastor was the greatest guy. He'd quote him and everything in church. Not saying any of that's bad. You know, we like John Wesley, right? Martin Luther. But anyhow, this pastor got caught in a sexual scandal and everything. And so pastor of my church, all of a sudden, he couldn't preach a good sermon. All of a sudden, he just wasn't an effective preacher. He was always depressed because he like put all his eggs in one basket. He like trusted a person. See, he didn't intentionally do that, but he was trusting a person more than he did God. He was idolizing a person, like, oh yeah, this guy's great. You know, this guy's, you know, had a big church, thousands of people, you know, but then he was caught in a scandal and it all came to the surface. And our pastor eventually left the church and, you know, somebody else had to be the pastor. So, you know, that's what happens when we put too much faith in hired hands. That, you know, some of them even are working for Jesus and they make some kind of mistake. If we put too much faith in a person, a political figure, an evangelist, or whatever, and we base our faith on whatever that person does or says, we can set ourselves up for failure because they're not perfect. And so that's why we need to listen to a good shepherd. If there is somebody we like or somebody that's over us, and a good shepherd tells us, hey, you need to confront them about something they're doing or something, then we do that. We police each other, and that's the way it's supposed to be. We trust in Jesus, but we support each other. We support each other. And we even listen to each other. But, you know, we trust in Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate test. Bible's the ultimate test. A lot of times people overinterpret the Bible. And I don't really believe in that. I think the Bible's actually straightforward, just like these parables. I think prophecy is, too. It can be a little complicated, but if you read it and just read it for what it is and what it says, you know, because if you interpret the Bible, you can wind up with all kinds of crazy stuff. The seminary I went to, one of my professors told me, now I went to a Southern Baptist seminary, so I don't know, y'all may not want me to come back. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't believe in everything they believe, like, you know, get saved no matter what. But actually, a professor there said that was one of the heresies, like, you know, once you get saved, you're always saved no matter what you do. Yeah, you know, he's like, that's a Southern Baptist heresy. But not all the Baptists believe that. It's just some of them believe it in the church. And he said there's like 15 heresies going around in the church. That's another message, Joe. So some of the things we believe, you know, as long as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, but you don't exactly, you know, believe other things because somebody has taught us differently, that doesn't mean you're going to hell. But it does mean we need to read the Bible, you know, and maintain our spiritual fitness. And then that way we'll start seeing through some of this stuff that, you know, some of the stuff we might have been told is true, not necessarily true, it's slightly different. Next slide. So, when that happens, just like that pastor I told you about that put all his faith in his senior pastor, it allowed Satan to kind of mess up his ministry. It was really his ministry was the most important ministry, not this other guy's ministry. You know, he left that church and started his own church, so his ministry was the most important thing. Satan does not have any more power than we allow Satan to have. Everybody gives Satan too much credit. It's like, oh, I just hate Satan. He's causing wars. I hate Satan. Satan destroyed my ministry. I've heard that before. I heard a preacher say, well, I tried to do this ministry, but Satan destroyed it. You know, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Satan is totally powerless. He's not even the king of hell. When he goes to hell, he's not going to have a fun time. He's going to be chained up in hell. So he's not like the king of hell and all that. He does control a lot of demons, and what they do is they're not any more powerful than we allow them to be, and then they suck off our energy and, you know, negative stuff. Just like that pastor, you know, they got a victory over that guy, which I think he came around sooner or later because, you know, he was letting this other guy that messed up affect his ministry. And so that's how Satan can get in, and then that's how the wolf comes and scatters the flocks. So, you know, we got to stand up to something like that. And whatever we're supposed to do, we need to put that first and not base it on other people. I think that's a carry away to that. Because the hired hand is subject, religious leaders are subject to imperfections. And so they're not Jesus, you know, no matter how good a preacher is or how good somebody is. They're not like Jesus. They're not even close to Jesus. Next slide. So I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, this is what I like about Gospel John. And then I like this about the other three Gospels. They're called the Synoptic Gospels, because more or less, they're kind of like the same stories. Sometimes the events are in a slightly different order. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke basically have a lot of the same things, where John puts in different things. Like I think this parable, I think it's more or less unique. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the earliest Gospels, they directly quoted Jesus. And guess who he said he was? Son of Man. So that showed a lot of humility. But then, in those Gospels too, he still talked about the Father. Whereas John makes it clear, the Father and the Son, Jesus. And they're both one too, even according to John. So it's different perspectives. And however you want to understand the Trinity, it's okay. As long as you believe in Jesus, like me, I looked at a diagram of the Trinity one time, and it said Jesus is not the Father, is not the Holy Spirit. Whereas me, I kind of look at it as they're all the same. All the same. Jesus is the one we understand because God came as Jesus. And he's the only way we can understand God, because God is so out there and so above and beyond. There's no way we can understand God except through Jesus. And then his Holy Spirit is a spirit that's everywhere. I think everywhere in creation except mankind, really, because we are humankind, because we decided to, reject him in the Garden of Eden. But we became free moral agents too, because God didn't want us to force us to follow him, because we're not like a part of nature, animals, and everything. So God loves us. And even though we sinned and fell from grace, he came and died on the cross for us. And so this shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Next slide. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. So I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's Peter talking to Cornelius, a first name Gentile Christian. This made me think of the last episode I watched on The Chosen, where Jews aren't against alcohol or anything. So they're, so he was talking to who was it? Gaius, and Gaius offered him a drink, and I forgot which one that was. Did anybody remember that one? I was talking to Gaius, who was one of the disciples though, but Gaius offered him a drink, and Gaius is like, he's like, no, I can't. He's like, oh yeah, Jews can't drink after Gentiles. So yeah, they couldn't share food with Gentiles, couldn't eat the same food. So that's why before Peter went to see Cornelius, he dreamed about this sheep coming down with all animals. And he's like, and God was saying, hey, you have to eat these. And Peter's like, I can't do that. And then God's like, it's not anything I prepare clean for you. Or, so God was telling Peter the rules are kind of changing a little bit. So when he went to Cornelius's house and everybody in the house got saved, I'm sure he stayed for dinner. He probably had a little pork, but that doesn't mean Peter went back and ate pork at home. And there are real Jews that have been Jews for, Christians that are Jews that have been Jews ever since, over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here. And they still follow the Jewish law. They're the Messianic Jews. They follow the law. They follow the dietary stuff. They follow all the... It's like you just about have to go to college to learn all the stuff the Jews do, all the little holidays and Sabbath prayers and everything. But they believe Gentile Christians don't have to do all that. So Messianic Jews, they just say they have to do it because they're Jews. But, we don't have to do it because they're Gentiles. So, yeah, I thought that'd be interesting. Some of the stuff I found out about reading about other things, other variations of Christianity. So that's where everything goes into, if you eat something that's offending your brother, don't eat it and things like that. So other sheep, that's why we're here now. That's why we're here, because Peter, Catholics call him the first pope, but Peter heeded the good shepherd's voice And he probably remembered that when he had that dream. He probably remembered Jesus, because this is this is later on, but he probably remembered Jesus saying there's other sheep that are not of this flock. And then Peter's like, oh man, he's pinning that rose on me. So Peter's like, all right, I'm the one that's going to start this. And so that was pretty cool. This is why we're here today. This is why we're here today. Next slide. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Now, that's why he paid the ultimate price. He came, he knew that's what he was going to do. He came to do this for us. He came to do this for us. I was talking with somebody about another religion. We were talking about how we believe, and they're like, well, I can't be a Christian, because why would God do something like that? You know, why would God do that? That's what sets us apart from everybody else. Our God does this for us. Next slide. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the power to take it, lay it down. I have the power to take it up. Now, Jesus, you can't kill Jesus. Can't kill God. Can't kill Jesus as God's Son. Next slide. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus, God as a person, He's showing us what to do. We listen to God. We listen to Jesus. Jesus is God. So He obediently came, was a good example for us, and also laid down His life for us, because He knows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So without Him doing this, we couldn't. Like the teacher I showed a while ago, I never give 100%, because that's a perfect score. Nobody's perfect. We could never get to heaven without Jesus doing what He did. And so I'll close it with a brief prayer, and then we'll move forward with our service. Dear Lord, thank You for everything that You've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, coming as Jesus and dying on the cross so that we can accept Your salvation and accept all Your forgiveness. Thank You for being our good shepherd. And be with us as we go forward and move on out after this service. Help us to be a good witness to other people that are not part of the flock yet. Help us to remember this in all our actions and all our thoughts, because people watch us, and so that we might be a good witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put your offering in the plate as you leave through the narthex, or bring it to the office.
My God. thou sendest me.
Dear Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. And dear Lord, bless these tithes and offerings, and may they go to benefit and uphold your kingdom here on earth. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 154, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. And may we ever be ready to listen, hear, and heed the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen. Too far away, so walk forward because